it's tricky.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, I know years ago a woman out of there, and they went through the same thing, probably 10, 20 years ago, and apparently she survived, but it doesn't happen that often. And McMurdo Station is still, I think, 500 or 600 miles away from the actual South Pole. There's another group that actually stays at the South Pole. There's different stations in different countries around Antarctica. But this McMurdo is the American station. So, and there's always guys down there that are hams. They're constantly operating. I never got a contact from Antarctica. I tried a couple of times, but no such luck. But, you know, they're down there, you know. these guys get on. Sometimes they're on CW, single sideband, and I guess FT8 nowadays. But I wonder if you ever make contact with Antarctica, Brian.
Nope. The farthest down I've been to Antarctica was to New Zealand.
Very good. Yeah, I got New Zealand. And I got BK1 is it? Station, from Australia, but never looked out for an article. Anyway, just wanted to, don't have that much here, but wanted to talk about this Blue Origin situation. And that's the one where they had the rocket blow up, the New Glenn rocket on the launch pad. A month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Now it turns out that they have found out the cause of the explosion was the liquid oxygen valve that malfunctioned on one of the seven main engines. They have these BE-4 engines. There's seven of them on the first stage. And apparently an oxygen valve must have let loose. They figured out it's 100% sure because, the thing blew up and they scavenged the whole area for different parts. And they found this one oxygen valve. And I guess they were able to trace it back to, a certain engine. And they figured out it malfunctioned. And now they're putting fixes into all the oxygen valves. And they expect to be up and running. Actually, according to them, Blue Origin, they think they'll be up and running by the end of this year, which would be good. Success is only a step away. They've landed their New Glenn rocket back on the barge two times so far. And this would have been the third time if they didn't blow up. We'll see. We need Blue Origin to be one of the contractors that are building a actual moon lander that will actually physically land on the moon. SpaceX is doing the same thing. And, of course, they're always competing with one another. Which one's going to get that contract? Originally, it was going to go to SpaceX from the beginning. But since they had problems, it looked like Blue Origin was going to do it. And now their rocket blew up, so it's back and forth. Only time will tell. Their goal is to do this by 2028. I don't see a snowball's chance in hell of that being accomplished. Hope they make it, but they got a long way to go. You know, they're teamed up with NASA, and NASA's, you know, got to coordinate and everything. And, you know, it looks like they have a lot of stuff that has to be done before they can actually attempt a man landing on back on the moon.
Well, if you say it's an oxygen valve that caused the explosion, is it possible that the oxygen valve that they found was damaged by the explosion?
I haven't read that yet. We're not informed on what this valve even looks like. You know, that's what I liked about when NASA did everything. You know, they would publish everything. You know, good, bad, and ugly. Sometimes it was delayed information, but eventually would get information out of NASA. Private companies, you know, don't have to do that. And maybe they would do it. Maybe the press is not asking those questions like you just did, Brian. Who's to say what came first? You know, did the O2 valve blow, or did something make that? You know, some explosion make that, become the main culprit of the whole disaster. So we'll see. They're sticking their neck out of it. It's the other way around. I hope they got it right.
I'm not so sure. We'll find out. You have to expect the risk with this. Any sort of space flight, there's always a risk.
Absolutely. Okay. There's another rocket that went up recently. Actually, a couple of weeks ago. I was going to cover it a couple of weeks ago, but ran out of time. And this thing's called the Vikram 1. It's built by India. Well, actually, a private Indian company. So India, the country itself, you know, they have their own space program and a rocket program, but now there was a private company there that built this rocket, and they wanted to put it into orbit a couple of weeks ago, and they hope to succeed in doing that on the first try. And it's very unusual for companies to succeed. You know, a few of them have done it. Blue Origin did it. You know, but it's you know, very rare. I believe Firefly, you know, had pretty good success on the first flight. But, you know, there's some failures involved. Sometimes they have problems with the boosters, the engines going out. But, you know, a lot of them have made it to orbit. And as far as private companies, SpaceX took four different rockets before they made it to orbit. But these people made it on the try. And I saw a replay of the launch. And all the workers, they really went nuts when this thing succeeded. So we'll see. It's three booster engines, you know, first stage, second and third stage. And then the fourth stage is liquid fueled. That's usually the way they do things in the rocket world. If they're using solids, you know, the solids get them close to where they want to be, you know, after they expire. But then that liquid stage is very important because sometimes they need to, have more accuracy in releasing the payload. And also they need to be able to relight the engine for two reasons, either multiple payloads, and they need sort of different orbits, and liquid engines, they can do that. Solid engines, they can't do that. You know, once they're lit, they burn up, and that's it. You can't relight them. With liquid engines, you can, and apparently they were successful. Another good reason to have a liquid engine, because they need to relight it, is to get the that final stage out of orbit. You want more space junk up there. We got enough of it. So all the companies and countries, they're trying to do their best, what I see, in eliminating that problem. You know, so they're able to fire the engine, slow themselves down, and deorbit, and then burn up in most cases.
Okay. I have a question for you.
I don't have any other topics that I was going to be discussing. So, that was at the time, and it's early. Well, what are you going to do? Anybody have any other comments for the SpaceNet report? WS2N.
Whatever happened with the Boeing Starliner? I heard nothing after that incident.
They want to fly another unmanned crew version up to the International Space Station. Their goal is to try to do this by the end of this year. And again, they're going to launch it on an Atlas V rocket. Atlas V rocket has enough engines left. You know, Atlas V is scheduled to stop flying in the future. In fact, they flew their last commercial flight for Amazon. They put 27 satellites up into orbit. But that's the launch vehicle that they use for the Starliner. And these RD-180 engines, they're Russian-built, actually. They were built originally in the Ukraine, and they built dozens and dozens of these things in America. Got a hold of these things years ago. And but they're very reliable engines, and they've been using them on the Atlas V. Atlas V has probably been launched, I think, a little over 100 times, 107 times. So that means, you know, we've had 100 of these engines there over the years, and we have about 4 or 5 left. They're all scheduled for future Starliner missions. So, you know, they're still on the drawing board. So their goal is to launch another one of these things. Apparently, they've fixed all these reaction control system rocket engines that have failed, over the last couple of flights. So if they believe they have that fixed, they want to do a flight up to the space station again. They'll just bring cargo up and everything, but they want to test and make sure everything works as planned. All the reaction control systems, there's a dozen of those on board Starliner, and I think 4 or 5 of them did not work when they sent the crew up there. Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore, they got stuck up there for 8 months instead of 8 days. It was an 8-day planned mission. So the Starliner will eventually go up, dock with the space station, undock, and again return safely to the Earth. Starliner has actually launched, 3 different times, and this will be the 4th time. And every time, it came back, it landed softly in, New Mexico, White Sands, New Mexico, comes back through the atmosphere, heat shield, parachutes, gets near the ground. They have little jetpacks that go off and, you know, slow down at the last second. And they have these big airbags, six gigantic airbags that instantly inflate. You know, I've read that it's a very similar system that they have in, you know, when a car crashes, regular airbags just instantly inflate and it gives them a soft landing. But no people have come back on that yet because the other, you know, the crew that got stranded up there, you know, they came back on a SpaceX vehicle. The Starliner itself, you know, came back to the atmosphere and landed okay. And if that works out, they still plan on sending a crew up. If they run out of Atlas V rocket engines, and no more Atlas V rockets, the Starliner is designed to eventually be taken up by Vulcan. Vulcan, from the start, that rocket is being has been built to, you know, they call it human-rated. So, you know, I mean, someday in the future, there could be other space stations up there, and they need to, you know, bring crews. You know, a Starliner would still be able to do that. So that's the status. They don't have any confirmed dates or months, but they did, by the end of the year, they plan on trying another flight. Back to you, Brian.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I'm just curious, why didn't we just reverse engineer the Russian design and make our own?
Why didn't we engineer the Russian? I missed it. What you said.
Sure, why didn't we reverse engineer the Russian engine design and just make our own from that? I thought that would be easy enough, right?
Yeah, but they're reliable. You know, after 100 flights, you know, they didn't want to argue with success. And they did put different controllers in and all, you know, on all these flights. They had bad luck with the NK-33 engines. The NK-33 engines were bought up by Orbital Science, and they had dozens of these things in a warehouse. And they just these for the Antares rocket. So they would put two on each Antares rocket. And what was it? I think it was October 2014. They launched a Sigma spacecraft from Wallops Island, and the NK-33 engine blew, you know. And they realized that it had a serious fault built into that engine. And they were built by Russians. So they abandoned that idea of using them again. And the Antares wound up being redesigned. And I think within, they say within this year, they should have new engines, American built. Engines built by Firefly called Miranda engines. They're gonna be flying the new Antares rocket instead of the old Russian engines. So yeah, I mean we copied a lot of stuff over the years from the Russians to cool down the nozzles. Russians are the first ones that came out with if you look at the nozzle, it's really two nozzles, you know, there's a space in between, and they have all the cooling fluid flowing between those spaces, instead of what we had with the F on the Apollo system, where, cooled, you know, thousands of tubes, you know, that had to be all brazed and everything. This double shielded type of thing was a Russian design, and now everybody is using that design, as far as I know, SpaceX and, and then time goes by, you know, and you realize that, you know, some engines that the Russians have were good, like the RD-180 and the NK-33s, which is junk. Back to you, Brian.
The Russians made some very good things, no question about that. It was very, you know, useful technology, very robust. But, okay, well, anyway, thank you, Paul, for your report. Always a pleasure speaking with you, as usual. And let's see if there's anybody out there that has a question.
No, it's all quiet. That's okay. But, we'll try to make it back here next week, that's for sure. And tomorrow night, we have the Club InfoNet, and that's followed by Flop and Shop, and that's always followed by Radio Newsline. On a final talk about the Moon Bounce contest. They're usually pretty good. They always have a space topic. Anyway, for now, we'll turn it back to you, Roy. AC2GS, WS2N for the Space Net Report for the TechNet. Back to you.
Very good, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for all that you do on the technical net and all that you do for the club. We all appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone who joined us tonight for our shortened version. Have a great week. Stay safe. And as per usual, let me leave you with a couple of clever words, one from our own Dick K2RW. He would always end these things with be kind to each other. And that's always good advice. And, of course, I like to add Epictetus. It's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So keep your mind open to new ideas, but not so wide open that your brain pulls out, because you're going to need it one of these days. This is AC2GS, and thanks to everyone. Hopefully you'll be able to come back next Sunday when we try and do this all over again. This is AC2GS, and after I say, Slava Ukraini.
Okay, guys. Well, you two have a very good week, and be well. And this is KF2ZZ clearing the frequency. Well done.
783, Brian.
That time complete. W2VL repeater. Thank you. tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
K2KMB, good morning, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. No complaints. What about yourself?
I'm doing great. We went out to Costa Rica last night. I had a 2-pound lobster.
Haven't had lobster in a long time. All right, good. Glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's on the Jericho near the trestle.
Wait, which place is that?
Costa Rica.
I'm not sure of that one. I know we've eaten near the trestle a couple of times. Different restaurants. There's a very good Spanish restaurant that makes a really, really nice paella. I think there's actually a second Spanish restaurant that opened up nearby, but this other one was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's great. There's a lot of good runs. We go to Cafe Red, too. It's in Kings Park.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of really good restaurants along the Jericho Turnpike, though. And all over Long Island has some really great restaurants.
What are you going to do today?
I don't know. Have to take a good look at the weather. Maybe get some work done outside.
I'm going to go swimming today with my wife at the San Clemente State Park.
Yeah, Yeah, just remember, when you're up there, your transmission is not anywhere as good as it is when you're home. And, you know, we had the club picnic yesterday, and I couldn't respond to you because I was just busy doing everything else. But when your signal is bad, people can barely hear you. And so they just assume there's no sense in trying to come back to you. I don't know what else you can do. Well, I told you you could add that piece of wire onto your antenna, which might help a little bit, but it's tough. And then, of course, when you're walking, if the handy talk is on the wrong ear, you know, not facing the repeater, that makes it a little more difficult also. But just be aware of that. It's just sometimes the signal is so broken up, that people just find it difficult to go back to you. But you're good and clear where you are right now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't even know what the weather's supposed to be today. I thought I heard rain at some point. Actually, let me check that out. Let me ask Alexa what the weather's going to be. Hold on a second. Yeah, heat advisory again for today, saying the high is going to be at 89. So if you're going up to the park, just be careful.
Yeah, you know, I bring water with me.
Yeah, I thought we were in for some bad weather, maybe this week. I thought maybe rain, not sure. All right, what else is doing?
We're going to go back to the Audi dealer on Thursday to get my car fixed and a 20,000-mile checkup, and I got to get an inspection. The problem with the antenna and the car talks to you just out of the blue.
All right. And what year is that car?
2023 Audi A6.
All right, so you're also not a high mileage driver. We don't put a lot of miles on a car. KTKNB.
AE2GJM.
All right, I'm going to go grab a cup of coffee, grab another cup of coffee. And I'll get, well, it's early yet, anyway. Yeah, but I'll get back at some point, Paul. KTKNB.
Okay, Richie, talk to you in a little while. Have a nice cup of coffee.